You guys can all start turning to Philemon chapter 1. Yes, I just said Philemon. It's a name of one of the books of the Bible. It's right in between Titus and the book of Hebrews. And there's only one chapter in the book of Philemon. It's not a common book to preach out of, but there's a lot of stuff that we can learn from this book. There's a lot of things that Paul was writing as he wrote this book. Here's a little background for the book of Philemon. Philemon is a slave owner in Colossae that Paul had developed a friendship with. He was someone that we mentioned last week. He was a co-laborer or a co-worker in Christ with Paul. Interesting enough, Paul addresses this letter to his friend Philemon. He isn't sending a letter to a group of people this time. This one's a bit personal. It had a little extra heart to it, if you will. This one, Paul had an extra investment in it. Here, Paul's writing a friend, but there's some specific details that Paul had for him. Philemon, he was likely a wealthy man leading portions of the church in Colossae. We know that he was a slave owner, someone that had a little more status, a little more wealth. This slave owner, Philemon, one of those slaves that he owned, had the name of Onesimus. And we'll see here with Paul's words to Philemon that there were some tensions between Onesimus and Philemon. See, Onesimus, he wasn't a very good servant for Philemon. He stole from his master. He stole from him and then fled. Onesimus escaped to Rome. Somehow, though, in a bizarre set of circumstances, he wound up in Paul's company. He wound up having a face-to-face meeting with the Apostle Paul, this Philemon's friend. Now, it's no coincidence God knew what he was doing when he planned for the two of them to encounter each other in Rome. It was a divine appointment for the two of them to run into each other. It was God's plan. It was God's timing. Now, with knowing what was going on here, let's start reading in Philemon, starting in verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. We're going to pause right there. Paul was an understood and trusted source when it came to sound doctrine. Paul was telling Philemon that although he could have told him this as someone that he submits to spiritually, he would rather appeal to him as a friend who has gone through life. I remember a story of another pastor friend of mine that told me before that him and his wife, they've been talking, and sometimes he has to flat out ask her, do you want a response as your pastor, or do you want a response as your husband? Because there's some distinct differences in how he would respond, depending on which aspect he's looking at. There's times that a direct answer or correction is what's needed to come. And there's times that it's an appeal for what is needed. Listen. God gave us each free will. He gave us each the ability to choose what route we go, what advice we listen to. Paul understood that Philemon was the one who had to be the one to make a decision on how to act. No one can make our decisions for us. At the end of the day, it's each of our choices. No one forces us to make those decisions. we have freedom to choose. See, Paul knew that it was going to be up to Philemon to make this decision on how he would respond. So he was pleading to him as a friend because he knew it was going to be hard. He knew that it was going to be personal. Paul is pleading with Philemon to listen as a friend, to listen to him, Paul, as someone who's been through things like this. He's not a rookie. Paul's been around the block. This ain't his first rodeo. See, there's some wisdom when he hears it from another viewpoint, from a place slightly different than his own. Paul's reminding Philemon that he's aware of the cost and that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ, that it's not for nothing, that the kingdom that he's pursuing is worth it, that he's in chains right now and he's looking at it from a kingdom perspective. In verse 10 there he says, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me." See, Paul's getting to the point of what he's pleading to Philemon for. Paul tells Philemon that he's gotten to know Onesimus. He started to go through life with him. He's appealing to Philemon for love's sake, for that agape love, for that unconditional love, for that love that doesn't have strings attached, the love that looks past hurts and wrongs. That is the love that Paul is appealing to Philemon now for his spiritual son, Onesimus. Telling him that Paul is connected with him and discipled him and established a mutual relationship with him. If you're looking at it from Paul's point of view here, he's stuck in the middle because he loves them both. But he knows what he must do. He has to come clean. He can't play sides. He's encouraging Philemon to do the appropriate thing. See, what Paul's doing here is also something that was customary in those days for an escaped slave. He's making this appeal on behalf of Onesimus. Paul's on house arrest in Rome, and Onesimus did what somebody who stole and was trying to escape to Rome, in that large city, would do. He was trying to get away because he escaped from Philemon. But Onesimus encountered the same person who led Philemon to a relationship with Jesus. One of the traditions that was held in this time in Roman culture was an old law from the Greek that allowed any escaped slave protection at an altar. That altar could even be the hearth of a home, of a private family dwelling. So then when a slave would do this, the head of the family was required to give the slave protection while he tried to encourage the slave to return to his master. If the slave wouldn't go back to his master, the slave was supposed to be sold, and whatever proceeds that he got from it, that was supposed to go back to the original owner. So Paul was doing what the custom of the time was to do. He was appealing to both sides to try to work it out. Onesimus, he needed to agree to return to Philemon. And Philemon was being pleaded with to receive and forgive Onesimus. Onesimus, he did something to ruin the trust of his master. And then he fled from him as well. He was once unprofitable for Philemon. But now, he was introduced to Jesus by Paul. And he was transformed. And Paul is stuck in the middle because the old Onesimus did some things that need corrected. We all have the freedom to choose, but we don't have the freedom of consequence. Onesimus, although he was made free by Jesus, he still had to respond for the fact, and he was under the care and ownership of Philemon. Onesimus wasn't free of the consequence of his actions that he did before he met Jesus. Accepting a relationship with Jesus does not change our physical happenings, physical circumstances, or make them go away. But it does give us confidence that despite anything that's happening, we have the comfort of being with the one who created everything. Paul continues in verse 12, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Paul's continuing to show Philemon that he's hoping that he might think things through here. It's likely that Paul is sending this letter with Onesimus himself, that he's personally having Onesimus deliver this word to Philemon. I'm sure that Onesimus was nervous at this point. His kneecaps were probably having fellowship with each other. Paul probably told Onesimus that his hope was that Philemon would hear it and be encouraged. That he hopefully read this letter and saw Paul's genuine heart in it. And that Paul is encouraged by Onesimus. That Paul desired for Philemon to send Onesimus back to Paul. But that Paul wouldn't have that happen without Philemon's permission, without his approval, without it being endorsed by Philemon. Philemon had every reason that he could be to be suspicious of this. He could have thought that it was a ploy by Onesimus, that he might have considered that he was making it up in an attempt to try to be set free from his control. See, Philemon was transformed by Jesus just as much as Onesimus was. Onesimus might have heard Philemon talking about the kingdom of God himself, but it's not until God got a hold of Onesimus that there was any true change. Nothing truly satisfies like the relationship we have with God. According with standard culture, as the master, Philemon could do anything he wanted to Onesimus, including having his slave killed. He could have had him crucified. So there was always that chance that he could have vengeance taken upon himself. But Paul was pleading to Philemon to be gentle. We read where it says to love others. We may have the authority to do whatever it is that he was going to do. But Jesus tells us to love one another the way that he has loved us. Paul was encouraging Philemon to be forgiving with Onesimus. Paul was doing what he knew he was supposed to do. He was sending Onesimus back to Philemon. He knew that that was the answer. So Paul sent Onesimus back to him so that Philemon might see Paul's heart resting upon him. That he was asking for grace and mercy. That Philemon might exercise grace and mercy upon Onesimus. Onesimus, he deserved every bit of punishment that he might have thrown at him. The price of death was given for far less with slaves even. But Paul was asking for mercy on Onesimus' behalf. Think about it. We all deserve death because of the sin that was in our past. But Jesus doesn't give us what we deserved. He gave us life instead. He gave us grace. He gave us, giving us stuff that we never deserved on our own. Paul has a plan here that could satisfy all three of them. It could work out for Philemon, it could work out for Onesimus, and it could benefit Paul as well. In verse 13 there, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. It's like Paul saying, hey, you send Onesimus back to me. He can help me here in Rome. He's still your slave, but you send him to me, and it'll be like you are helping me yourself. I think Paul's using his situation as well to appeal to Philemon. He's telling him, hey, since I'm in chains, I can use all the help I can get. But Paul also reminds Philemon why he's desiring that Onesimus might remain with him. To further the gospel. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. It's to further the gospel. The gospel is about radical transformation. Lives being changed. That's what was going on in Onesimus. Life is being changed from within. He's going from seeking his own desires, stealing and escaping from his master. But now he's submitting himself to his master again in the hopes that he is restored. Paul understands this whole desire for making the decision on our own. That's why he's appealing to Philemon. That's why he's begging him, saying, it's your decision, but I hope you give grace and forgiveness and mercy here. Yes, Paul is asking, but he's very direct about it. But at the end of the day, he's still leaving the decision up to Philemon. God wants us to choose on our own. It's easy to take it and grudgingly, yeah, I did this because I was told to. But it's much better to exercise and make choices without being commanded. That's why he's saying that he doesn't want to have to do this deed by compulsion, but rather for it to be voluntary. That Philemon wouldn't grow the way that God wants him to grow if he was just doing what somebody else said. Instead, Paul's letting God be the one to deal with Philemon and let him make that decision on his own. You know, Ashley and I have been telling our kids this from a young age. We can't have their walk for them. Yes, it's good to learn. Yes, it's good to grow. But the walk has to be their walk. We love them so much that we want them to be the ones to grow in their relationship with God. The only way they're truly going to grow is to experience and hear Him themselves. Continuing in verse 15 here. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. I keep saying it lately, but there's something about using things that what seems like a detour for us, but it's God's chosen path. He uses those things to be a strategic path for him. God has a plan for everything. Nothing is a surprise to God. Adam and Eve sinning in the garden did not catch God off guard. He knew it was going to happen. But he uses things for his glory. He has a purpose in every path. Paul's encouraging Philemon, saying that God might have been strategic with what has happened with Onesimus. Onesimus might have been fulfilling his flesh when he stole and ran away. But God cares so much for Onesimus that he allowed him to do it so that he might end up with the one that God had chosen to introduce him to Jesus. God knew what it would take to get to Onesimus. God knew that it would take for Philemon to understand and recognize the depth and love and provision that he had as well. God's turning around what the enemy meant for evil. What the enemy thought that he was succeeding in taking away from his servant. No, God had a bigger plan than that. God's strategic. He's mightier than anything the enemy can surmount. It's no accident that Onesimus ran into Paul. It was a divine appointment. God makes a way when it seems like there is no way. And it was good for all three of them to have it happen this way. We may end up in situations where we don't know what to do. We will end up in situations that we don't know what to do. Or we're torn because we want to do one thing, but God's leading us in a different direction. But God has a plan. He is good. He is our way maker. He's looking out for us. He cared more about Onesimus that he might no longer be just a slave to Philemon, but also as a brother to him. But more important than that, what may have been lost with Onesimus is that Philemon had gained him as a brother forever. He found everlasting life. He went from being despised into being grafted into the family of God. God is into turning lives around, destroying our old identity, our old nature, and depositing His nature and identity into us. We are called by God. We're to reflect His nature. Our identity is in Him. Paul continues in verse 17, "If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord." Paul doesn't let up for what he is pleading with Philemon to do. He tells him to receive Onesimus as you would me. When you look at this man, imagine it is me when you deal with him. That this guy has been transformed the same way that I have been transformed. He's imparted characteristics to Onesimus. Paul is invested in Onesimus. He is pleading to his friend, "If you do anything to him, you are doing it to me also. I am taking this punishment with him." Paul is truly walking out what we read in the book of John just a few weeks ago. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Paul understands that there might be difficulties in what he's asking Philemon to do. He might be needing to recover some of the costs. He's telling Philemon that, hey, I'll make it right. I'll cover the cost. That is exactly the gospel of the kingdom, folks. Paul is mirroring what Jesus had done for us. Paul is saying, I am paying for his rebellion. Look, you want to collect the debt? Look to me. So grateful Jesus did that for us. And Paul sneaks a line in here saying, not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Paul reminds him that he spent himself teaching and training and helping Philemon. He's basically telling him, hey, you've seen how God does this. Pay attention because God still has this. Kingdom economics, there's a fivefold return, tenfold, hundredfold, but the math always comes out ahead. Verse 21 here. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Paul had poured into Philemon. He knew the character of Philemon. He knew that he would be taking these words to heart. Paul asks Philemon to let him have the joy from him in the Lord, knowing that he was going to make the right decision. Paul had so much confidence in him that he even said that he writes to him knowing that he will do even more than I say. That Philemon wouldn't harbor bad feelings towards Onesimus. That Philemon might rejoice that his slave has freedom in Christ now. That he would bless Onesimus and send him back to Paul even. And Paul would be refreshed seeing Philemon's obedience walked out. Paul would rejoice knowing that Philemon's obedience would be known. Paul had faith that God would do what God does, giving a peace about the outcome. Back then, Paul would have sent Onesimus back with this letter and then had to wait for a response. He couldn't pick up a phone and find out the result. It's not like today where you could even drive and be there somewhat quicker. I looked it up. It's about 1,200 miles from Colossae to Rome. Google Maps told me that it was 29 hours to drive. But Paul had to trust these words would find Philemon and God would accomplish the work that he set it out to do. That Paul had to have faith. He had to believe God would do what he does. Paul's faith is continued to be shown in this passage as well. See, while Paul is still a prisoner in Rome, he's asking Philemon to prepare a room for him and to pray for him to be released. Paul believed he would be released. That God would deliver him some way, somehow. He had faith. It was no accident for any of these three men to have been involved. But it was up to each and every one of them to carry out the obedience that they were called to do. At the end of the day, it was up to each one to make their decisions. Of course, we talked about the obedience expected out of Philemon, to forgive Onesimus, to deal gently with him. There was also the obedience of Paul, leading Onesimus to Christ, writing to Philemon, encouraging him of the weightiness of his decision. And then there was the obedience needed out of Onesimus. It was a long journey back to Colossae. He could have just abandoned it at any point, but instead he carries out returning to his master. So you might wonder, this is a great story. There's a lot of good information. There's a lot of good application. I barely recognize these names in the Bible, though. So how did this story turn out? Well, we do find Onesimus mentioned when Paul wrote the church at Colossae. He was sending out some people of telling what was going on with Paul's journey including what he says in Colossians 4:9. He tells them that he's with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. See, here, Onesimus, we see the beginning of his walk with God. But he would go on to grow and do even more. You guys may not realize it, but Timothy, one of the young men that Paul had wrote that was leading the church in Ephesus, Onesimus succeeded Timothy in taking over that church. God had greater plans for Onesimus than you ever would have guessed here in his backstory. He understood the grace and mercy that he was given both through God and the people that were carrying out the grace and mercy to one another, walking out their faith, building up and showing the transformational power, the forgiving power of Christ. We can't write people off because of their past. The past is the past. God is more concerned about the present and the future. If we count something out, we miss out on the future Pauls. We miss seeing the potential in someone like Onesimus. See, although Paul was writing this letter to his dear friend Philemon, there's much that we can learn for everyone here. We're to give mercy where we can give mercy. We're to give grace where we can give grace. And we're to seek how to be obedient with what God is leading us to do. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for the example of Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Lord, we thank you that we can draw from what you were telling them in that time and see how we are to use it still today. Lord, we thank you for the example of laying down our lives for our friends. Lord, just as you care more about each and every person than we can ever imagine, Lord, help us show your love to those around us. Lord, help us show your love, your forgiving power, your transformative power, Lord, to do what you want to do. Lord, we're sorry for writing anybody off because of their past. Lord, we're sorry for writing anybody off and saying that they are not going to amount to what we expect, God. For your plans are greater than ours. Lord, show us who you have in mind. Lord, help us see the potential in people the way that you see them, God, as your children, as your sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you for that relationship that you do have with us, God, that you continue to have that relationship with us, that you continue to speak to us, that you continue to lead us and guide us. Lord, help us be more aware of your presence. We thank you, God. We praise you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.